You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 23 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chat with Neo Kruger, markets, some Nike results, and certainly that selling seems to have paused for now. Trellidor results and their demand for the security and decorative products, and amplify investment partners on investing with the conscious being more than just an ESG in thought. This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: African Rainbow Capital Investments to spend 205 million rand from rights offer on management fees. And Business Day, Tongaat's 5.35 billion rand starch unit sale to Barlow World to proceed. Morning markets, lots of green out there. US S&P up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 1.7% overnight. Asia mixed, Sydney up 1.8%, and Tokyo, after being closed Monday and Tuesday, off 0.5%. Commodities under some pressure. We've got gold, $1,892 an ounce, Rand, 1683 against the US dollar, and top 40 opening call looking for a green open around 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Got Mia Kruger on the line. She's a director, of course, at Kruger International. Mia, morning. Appreciate your time this morning. I want to talk some Nike, but before we do, UK government essentially going back into a harder lockdown. Not at level five, but harder lockdown. Curbs on pubs and group sizes, etc., etc. How much is this sort of a risk to our recovery as sort of, I don't know, the Northern Hemisphere going into winter? We're seeing spikes in certain places. Does this concern you from an investment perspective?
Good morning, Simon. I actually looked at that last night as my sister and her family lives in the UK, and they sent me an update about what was going on there. And it doesn't seem like at this stage that the lockdown that they are entering into now is much different to what they actually have at this stage. Obviously, there are differences between the amount of people you're allowed at weddings and how many people you're allowed to have indoors with you. But for them as a family, business-wise, then it's not changing much. She is in the audit field, and she can actually work from home or the office, which is still very much allowed. They're not curbing people to stay at home yet, but they are encouraging people to work from home where possible. Her husband's in the hospitality industry. He's a chef at a fine dining restaurant, and they're still allowed to operate. They're actually only curbing bars to serve tableside and not at a bar and be open until 10 o'clock. So it's very much not impacting them as the holiday, as the hospitality industry, very much from a food point of view. So yes, it seems like it could have an impact, but I think we'll have to watch those numbers, because that'll be the determining factor after all.
You make a great point there. Where we are right now is a situation where, you know, back in March we didn't know what was happening. Truthfully, we're 6 months down the line. We're actually kind of prepared for this. We're getting experience. We know how to lock down. It's not fun, but we know how to work from home. This is something which the global world has sort of, we've come to terms with.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think in the rest of Europe, it's the same story. People have been traveling, so everyone was expecting the numbers to show a spike. We know that they're going into the winter season. People sort of have a bit, you know, more sniffles when winter shows up anyway. But the big thing that I've also looked at is the fact that the death rate hasn't really spiked up again along with the numbers. So that's a good thing. And I think as long as that happens, they will be sort of more cautious to make the lockdowns too stringent to hamper the economies.
I want to touch on Nike results came out overnight. It sells to China up about 6%, North America down about 2%. Big story there. Digital sales up 82%. There's two parts to it here. One is, I mean, the first is Nike is obviously a global brand and a brand leader, I suspect. There's others. There's Under Armour, there's Adidas, but Nike leads it. And the second is that a lot of companies that were doing online have absolutely sort of revolutionized professionalized in that space and probably going to keep that level of online in the weeks and months and, frankly, years ahead.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you know, they're the leader in the field. They've actually, I think, increased their stronghold in this area. The online sales grew at a massive 82%, which is enormous. And what was very interesting, how they really tried to use the lockdown and the corona time to propel their business in specific areas, where one of the areas that stood out that I was pretty surprised about was the fact that their women's apparel division grew by nearly 200% in this time. So it does seem like the ladies missed the shopping and went online and got their fix. And I can tell you that I've actually been buying Nike online, and it's a pleasant experience. They've always had a very, very large offering, and they try to use that size of their business to offer everyone everything that they want. And it's been back to school. People are stocking up. A lot of kids in the U.S. obviously wear Nikes going to school, and you know, no school uniforms over there. But it was interesting. Their earnings per share was more than double than expected. Yeah. So they really hit it out of the ballpark. And the numbers were interesting if you consider the fact that they really didn't have a big dip in the U.S. over the last quarter. And in China, they were growing over 6%. So, yes, I think it's a great result. And when you consider, you know, this is a durable goods company that's selling real products, it's a very good sort of underpinning to all retail sales online. And it shows us where everything is going.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. This is not selling sort of soft services, the Zoom calls and the like. This is a real thing that actually arrives. And a lot of people, myself included, tried clothing online for the first time. It worked, and I think we will be back. Mia Kruger, Director at Kruger International, always appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I've got Terence Dennison on the line. He is Trellidor CEO. Numbers to year end June. Revenue down just over 18%. Headline earnings per share off almost two-thirds, down by 65.6%. Terence, morning. Appreciate your time. No dividend declared, but you had paused the dividend you declared in December, and you're now going to be paying that postponed dividend, which, to my mind, reading perhaps a little bit too much between the lines, shows a little bit of confidence coming back from you and your board as perhaps the worst of the lockdown is behind us.
Morning, Simon. We did postpone our dividend in March. I think, if I recall correctly, I think we'd proposed the dividend and declared it a week before lockdown.
Yeah.
So we could have got the timing a bit better. So we're in a position now, our cash preservation through the lockdown and generation subsequent to level three has been good. So we're in a position to pay that dividend now. And looking forward, yes, I think we're certainly in a lot better position than we were this time in April.
Yeah, I mean, back in April, level five lockdown, you were closed. There was no installations happening, no manufacturing happening. Level four sort of coming back. Are you sort of at full capacity? Is demand starting to return?
As of July, we were able to be back at full capacity from a legislation perspective, and yes, demand has returned back to levels seen last year, in both businesses, actually. So we're pleased and surprised that the levels are back where they are through the back end of June, July, and August.
Yeah, I mean, Trellidor, I suspect, is you know, it's almost that's not a discretionary purchase. I mean, it is discretionary, but in the sense it's around security. You're probably, you know, you're going to do it and you're going to go out there and you're going to spend some money because it's important. I'm interested, did you say Taylor's also coming back? That's the sort of blinds. That's more decorative. But we have seen in some of the sort of cash boards and the like, maybe people are tired of looking at the same blind after 6 months and they're sort of saying, I want something nicer. I want something prettier coming in and playing into that space.
Yeah, I think there is a school of thought that's saying people are spending much more time at home than they would ordinarily do. And as a result, spend is more concentrated around the home. I suppose international holidays are still not really on the cards for too many people. And And because that spend is concentrated around the home, you know, we're in a really good position to benefit from that.
How much is sold? You've got Trelidor Franchise Network. You've also, as I understand, you've got third parties who would be out there selling your products. How much is that split between the sort of your own franchise network versus third parties?
In the Trelidor segment, 95%+ is sold through the franchise network. That distribution model, both internationally and locally. And in the tailor business, about 10% of tailors' turnover now is sold through Trelidor franchise network, and that's one of our strategies, is to broaden the footprint using that distribution model, where the products are complementary. And the balance is through either direct sales consultants in the tailor business or a long-standing distribution network.
Okay. You mentioned the offshore part. You've got some rest of Africa. You've got some UK. Still very, very small. Are these still sort of plans to get those to sort of significant levels within the Trelidor stable?
Yeah, look, it's currently about 13-14% of turnover is outside of South Africa. And it's primarily in the Trelidor business, very little international in the tailor business. And yes, it is a strategy to continue growing that, but not where it's not profitable.
Mm-hmm.
We're only looking at markets where we can be competitive and we can get a return on our investment in those markets.
I like that, not where it's not profitable. Quick last question. I mean, Trelidor, it's African, as we know it. We know it as a leader in sort of the home security. When you go offshore, when you go into the UK, is there significant competition in terms of quality, or is this a product that we can take proudly to the rest of the world and say, you know, we know what we're doing in this space?
Yeah, I think barrier security in South Africa has probably had more opportunity to be fine-tuned over the years than perhaps in the first world markets. But the interesting thing is in the first world markets, our customer base is primarily commercial retail in nature, whereas in Southern Africa and Africa, it's primarily residential. So the product set is filling a different need in those markets.
Yeah, okay, and a different market there entirely. We'll leave that there. That's Trelidor CEO Terence Dennison. Thank you very much for your morning time. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness, and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Yesterday was World Rhino Day, and I'm going to come to why that matters in a moment. I've got Richard Bray on the line. He's head of strategy and positioning at Amplify Investment Partners. Richard, morning. Appreciate your time. We get investment. It's about making money. It's about protecting wealth. But truthfully, it's becoming a lot more than just that. And the pandemic, I think, has accelerated that, where we start asking more questions around sort of what our money is doing, and particularly in the sense of, you know, is it actually also doing some good whilst protecting wealth and growing wealth?
Yes, good morning, Simon. Thank you for all for having me on your show this morning. Yes, yesterday was World Rhino Day, and here's increased awareness of World Rhino Day as a result of a global move to protect the rhino due to climate change and obviously poaching. And, you know, in South Africa, we lose one rhino every 10 hours. So We've realized that, you know, there is a problem in South Africa in that regard. And but more importantly as well, is our clients are actually asking us what we are doing to grow their investments whilst also making a change around them or an impact around them. So we had a look at what we could do, and there's a big trend towards impact investing. So what we've done is we've taken a portion of our profits and we actually allocate it to philanthropic impact investing initiatives around rhino poaching.
And you know, you've chosen Amplify Investment Partners, has chosen Rhino poaching and sort of the Rhino as your thing. What we're talking here is, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of guests about the ESG, environmental, social, and governance, and that's hugely important. You're taking that little step further and saying, you know, but what about our direct community? What about, you know, the Rhinos in the reserve or whatever it might be? I mean, people might go for school feeding schemes, but it's bringing it really close to home rather than perhaps a little more abstract of the ESG.
100%. So, you know, obviously the ESG are the principles that our asset managers use to manage our clients' money, you know, and get them the highest returns as possible on their savings. Whilst what we then do within the profits is we align to two of the SDG goals, the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, and we align to life on land and decent work and economic growth. And through aligning to those SDG principles, we can then obviously make impact on those communities. So the one that we have also aligned to, as I mentioned, is the Decent Work and Economic Growth. Mm-hmm. So we contribute to the Good Work Foundation, who is based in Hazyview, and they provide learners who leave school with a tertiary education in hospitality. So as to benefit from tourism in South Africa and also uplift those surrounding communities around the greater Kruger Park and our national park.
And what's key here, and I said it up front, I mean, investing is about making money. It is about protecting wealth. But we can do this with an ESG bent. We can do the impact investing. We can truthfully invest with a conscience, and we can still create that wealth and protect the wealth. We're not having to give up. We can, you know, do both in a sense, which is, you know, it's the cliche, but it is sort of a better world and a win-win world.
Exactly. You know, I often use the cliche. What is the point for saving for the future if there's no future to spend all your savings in? You know, and life isn't just about money now, but it is a balance between achieving one's personal goals and those of the communities around you and to leave a better world for future generations. So that's why we think we have quite a unique value proposition where we can tell the clients, you know, the returns on your investments come first to us. And then off the back of that, off our profits, we allocate to impact initiatives to provide relevance to your investment and to enjoy the journey of why you save.
Yeah, and I'm imagining, and I'm sort of almost certainly knowing the answer to this before I ask it, but I mean, this is not something where you're going to get pushback from your clients. If anything, you're going to get support. And at this point in the equation, it's probably an edge for yourselves. In time, hopefully, everyone's doing it, and it kind of falls away. But this is something which you know, clients are going to embrace it.
So, I mean, you're correct. And, you know, it's a collective effort. You know, if all the asset management industry, you know, managers actually collectively put percentages of their profits together, we could make sizable changes, you know, to those poorer communities, et cetera. And for us, as I mentioned, impact investing has become a very strong trend. The problem is that the retail client can't get hold of it.
Yeah.
So you're finding more of that in your institution, your pension funds, all of that. So for us, we, as you mentioned, we call it an intelligent impact. We try and bring it to the retail client, to the man in the streets, whilst not tying up the money for defined amounts of years, you know, be it 5, 10 years, which normally impact projects you have to do.
That's a right point. It's not that type there. Richard Bray, we'll leave that there. He is Head Strategy and Positioning at Amplify Investment Partners. Appreciate your time this morning. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast available again at the website and the app from 7 a.m. and wherever good podcasts are aggregated. Chat to us on the social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, Masekla Gwangwa, helping in today as well, and to you for listening, my guests, for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. No show tomorrow, 24th Thursday. That's a holiday. We'll have a recorded show for Friday, and normal service resumes Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.